We believe that this is the inerrant word of the one and only true and living God. It is the only infallible rule for our faith and its practice. So hear now the word of our God from 3 John, beginning in verse 5. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that they may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You know, it seems like such a simple thing, receiving a letter. But for some reason, that was too much for Diotrephes, which I will just say that since as I was writing the sermon, I decided to try to use the dictation function in Microsoft Word, and it did not like Diotrephes. We do not know much about this man. All we have is this brief mention by John in our text this morning. Now, as I said last week, I believe that 3 John comes somewhere between the writing of 2 John and 1 John. And after studying this week, I think I am more convinced of that. Now, of course, we don't know all of the background to when this letter was written or why this letter was written. And it's often like that with books of the Bible. All we can do is try to pick up on clues from the letter itself to try to piece together some sort of context. But verse 9 seems to give us a little bit of the background. John says that he wrote something to the church, but this man, Diotrephes, opposed him. Meanwhile, Gaius seems to have behaved in a more honorable way. So, Diotrephes is against John, but Gaius is for John. What should we make of all this? Is this just petty squabbling from 2,000 years ago? Did a personal feud between Diotrephes and John somehow make it into the text of the New Testament? Do we really have a book of the Bible, short as it is, that is all about how John didn't like this guy and how this guy didn't like John? We've all been in situations where people really didn't like each other, and we've seen the power struggles that result. We've seen the petty insults and the bickering and the fighting. I was reminded this week, actually, of the rivalry between the two lead singers of the band Van Halen. David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar don't like each other. If you go on YouTube, you will find evidence of this. There is no shortage of footage of those two guys saying all manner of nasty things about each other. I will say, Roth seems to be a little cleverer in his insults, and Sammy seems to more just tell you what he thinks. Sammy says that David was a great showman, but he was never a good enough artist to really be in a band with a guitarist as great as the legendary Eddie Van Halen. And he takes kind of the snooty artistic take on it. Meanwhile, David always seems to get a jab in about how people just seem to like him more. Now, is that all this is? Is John just the aging leader in the church at Ephesus, jealous of the influence of Diotrephes? Well, there's a few reasons why I don't think that that is the case. John, first of all, was an apostle. And that office carried with it a certain level of authority that everyone had to acknowledge. But even beyond that, remember what we've said over and over again. These letters of John were written in the wake of a church split that shook the church in Ephesus to its very core. Right? John has to write to them over and over, saying, look, I am writing to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. Yeah, those people went out from among us, but they weren't of us. And don't be deceived by their false teaching. You need to have the true gospel. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved because of his care and love for the sheep of Christ's flock, was stepping in to help. His goal was not to bring down the hammer on anybody. His goal was not to make a great name for himself. His goal was to shepherd the flock of God that had been entrusted to him. And yet, when he sent the letter that we now know as 2 John, I believe that's what he's referring to there, it seems that while Diotrephes was in the church, he didn't go out with the heretics. He was also seeing this as an opportunity. He was more concerned with his own status and position than he was with the great blessing that the church was given when John himself chose to step in. You see, Diotrephes loved to be first. He didn't want to serve. He wanted to be served. And so in this letter, we have four examples. We see an elder seeking to shepherd the flock of God faithfully. We see a faithful servant willing to show hospitality even to strangers. We see a man consumed with a desire for power and status. And we see the Savior who laid down his life for the sheep. So our text this morning then begins in verse 5 where we read, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are." It's very interesting to me that Gaius did not know the men who John sent carrying the letter. It's not as though they were old friends. They hadn't done him some sort of favor that he was now repaying. There was no worldly incentive for Gaius to show any kindness to these men. It reminds me of Christ's teaching in the Gospels when he says that if we only do good to those who do good to us in return, then we're no better than the world. Even the Gentiles and the pagans know to do good to their friends. Even they know to show kindness to someone who will show kindness in return. And yet what Gaius does here is show kindness and hospitality to people that he has never even met. And clearly his kindness made an impression because John says that these brothers came back and testified before the entire church. And it reminds me of times when this church has hosted missionaries and given a small gift to them on their way. We do well, Christians, when we show kindness even to those who are strangers and yet who labor for the gospel. Or when we host students of theology to come preach in this pulpit, and then their pastor tells me at General Assembly, "Thank you for the kindness that your congregation showed to Martin. They gave me such great feedback, and they encouraged him so much." As Christians, we do not do this so that we would get some sort of reward. We do it because this is how our God would have us to show kindness to those who are in the household of faith. Gaius, John says, sends these men on their way in a manner that is worthy of God. And yet in this day, the need for hospitality was so much greater even than it is in ours. After all, John tells us that these men have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Missionaries in our own day likewise go forth foregoing the opportunity to make a living by a secular job. But just think how much harder it was in this day. At least today, when Chris and Savannah Kitchen came and visited us, we could go online and see their profile on the MTW website. It's not there now, but I think it was at the time. Pray for them. I think that their profile is not on the website because of the sensitive nature of the work that they do. And if you don't remember, ask me when I'm not recording it to go online. But you could go on the MTW website, you could learn about them, you could give money straight to them on the website. And you still can, by the way, you just have to know the exact link. And we met them, why? Because Smoky Mountain and Christ the King had hosted them and introduced them to the area churches. But in John's day, that kind of thing didn't happen. Christianity was a persecuted minority. When these men went out for the name, they had no guarantee that their meals would be covered. They had no assurance that they would find safe lodging. They were completely dependent on the kindness of strangers like Gaius. Life as a Christian missionary during this time was hard. And if you don't believe me, read 2 Corinthians and hear Paul talk about his own experiences. He was shipwrecked, what, three times? A day and a night adrift at sea. He was often without food. The Gentiles resented him. His own people wanted him dead. And these men were no different. They went out not seeking their own glory, but rather as servants of Christ and of his church. They went out to proclaim the good news where it had never been heard. They had no means of survival other than by depending on the kindness and generosity of those who had the same Savior. Therefore, John says, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. What a privilege it is that we get to be fellow workers for the truth with the Stapletons laboring in McMinn County. That we get to be fellow workers for the truth with the Garofalos laboring in Salerno, Italy. That we get to be fellow workers for the truth with David and Eowyn Stoddard in Munich, Germany. What a contrast, then, is the conduct of Gaius when compared to Diotrephes. After all, look at how John describes him. He says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. Now, the ESV kind of downplays what John actually says here. The verb there is philoproteuon. Now, you can hear in that word the same root that comes into English words like philanthropy or philosophy. Right? What is philanthropy? Well, it's the love of mankind. What is philosophy? It's the love of wisdom. The verb philoproteuon literally means the one who loves being first. Now, this is a horrible indictment on the part of John because John knew just how wrong it was to want to be first. He learned that the hard way the day that he and his brother put their mother up to something. I don't know if you remember this. But they convinced her to ask Jesus to let her two sons sit, one on his right hand and one on his left hand, when he came in his kingdom. They wanted to be first. What was Jesus' reply? He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But rather, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. After all, this is the sin that started it all, isn't it? Loving to be first. Satan was an angel of light, but he wanted to sit on God's throne. Adam was the king of the world, but he wanted to make his own law rather than submit to God's law. Over and over again throughout human history, we see people loving to be first and being willing to do whatever it took to whoever it took to make that happen. Reuben wanted his father's place of authority, so he took his wife as his own. Korah wanted the position of Moses, so he led a rebellion, and the whole multitude of them were swallowed up into the earth. Abimelech wanted to be king, even though his father Gideon had declined the throne, and so he murdered all but one of his brothers. Joab wanted to command the army, and so he murdered everyone that stood in his path. Absalom wanted to sit on his father's throne, and so he overthrew him and would have killed him if he had had the chance. It happens over and over again and again. Human beings always love to be first, and it always leads to heartache and disaster. That's why Jesus reminds us that he, the one who actually is first, the one who actually in all things is preeminent, that he came not to be served, but to serve. So we should have this mind, since we are his people, and we should esteem others as better than ourselves, because the love of being first will often lead to greater and greater sin and wickedness. After all, Diotrephes seems to have not left with the heretical group, but now John says, if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Diotrephes loved to be first, but he goes down in history as a slanderer and as a petty tyrant. Sic semper philoprotuon. Thus always with those who love to be first. And yet John does not want Gaius to grow weary in doing good. And so he tells them, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Beloved, do not imitate evil. Do not be so consumed with your own fame and renown that you forget that you are nothing more than a redeemed sinner, justified by Christ's work on your behalf and by his work alone. You were dead in your trespasses and sins until God made you alive together with Christ. It is by grace, unmerited favor, that you have been saved. Rather, imitate the one who, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Imitate the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Imitate John and Gaius as they imitate Christ, the incarnate Word of God. For Christians, this is the Word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the example of our Savior. And though all of us in our own sinful hearts would be like Diotrephes, may his example be to us a cautionary tale, and may we remember that our Savior did not seek his own interests, but laid down his life for our sake. And therefore, may we, following his example, not seek our own interests, but the interests of others. May we esteem others as greater than ourselves, knowing that this is what our Savior did for us. And if Christ so loved us, so also we ought to love one another. Help us to love one another in Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.